Amen. Boy, that's some good groceries right there, huh? Let's open our Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 14. We're going to continue here in the book of Romans. This hasn't been an exhaustive look. More of an overview, really. Romans chapter 14. Last week, we looked at the section, and we're looking at it in sections rather than chapters. Romans 12 and 13 are a section beginning with renewed mind, which is to renew your mind specifically to those things that all those things regarding the gospel of God, regarding Jesus Christ, that were laid out in chapters 1 through 8. All that's been accomplished in Him, who we are, because of what Jesus Christ did. Chapters 9 through 11 basically land with Judean, Gentile, regardless of the background, when they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they are called of God. They're vessels of mercy. Then it begins to talk about, also in Romans 12, about the one body. It opens with renewed mind and then begins to talk about the one body right out of the gate. I love that. And continues into Romans 13. And really, when it goes through how we're to conduct ourselves with one another, you get to the verse where it says that we are to love without what? And that is the overriding tone of the rest of the book of Romans. That sets it. It is love without hypocrisy. Okay? And then it begins to lay out one body, believing, and so on. Romans 14 starts to pick up things that may come up between people. But it's all in the tone of loving without hypocrisy. Okay? So, and we're going to look at Romans, beginning in verse 1, and we're going to go to chapter 15, verse 14, which is really where this context ends. All right, so Romans chapter 14, verse 1. It says, "Him that is weak in the believing." And when that article, the, is there, and it is here in the Greek, it's that believing as opposed to all other ways of believing. There are many things that people believe, but we're talking about, in this context, the believing. And it's the believing regarding Jesus Christ. It's the believing regarding who we are because of what He did and what we have because of what He accomplished. Okay, so him that is weak in the believing, in that. Now this phrase is only used one other time in the book of Romans, and it's in reference to Abraham, who was not weak in believing. Okay, him that is weak in believing, receive ye. So the section opens up with receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. These words, doubtful disputations, I'm going to have a hard time with that today. Doubtful disputations. Oh, it was a phrase that was used to describe judging or discerning conversations, words. In other words, him that is weak in believing, you are to receive, but not to a judging or discerning, in a judging or discerning way. You understand? And then the next verse is going to use an example, and that's all it is. It's an example because things come up. And what we're going to see here, well, let's read a little bit. For one believes that he may eat all things. Now, in the rest of this, in these next few verses, there's an ellipsis here where you would supply the phrase all things. For one believes that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, which has just been defined in verse 1, weak in believing, in the believing, eats herbs. Let not him that eats all things despise him that eats not all things. And let not him which eats not all things judge him that eats all things. For God hath what? Received him. Isn't that something? It's an example used here in light of either party imposing on the other what they have determined to be right for them. Pretty simple. Have you ever seen anything like that in life?
Oh,
sure. Absolutely. But and where we're going to land here in this section is these are not the important things. Can you imagine what Christendom would look like if people didn't try to impose things on other people outside of what Jesus Christ accomplished? Why, we might see one body. Right? Absolutely. And so it's discussing these practical matters that come up and how we handle them. It's really beautiful. Verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls. He is upheld or falls. Yea, he shall be holding up or held up or upheld. For, and it should read, the word God should be the words his Lord. For his Lord is able to uphold him. He answers to who? Another man's servant answers to his Lord. Who are you to judge another man? One man, now we got another example here. One man esteems or he distinguishes one day above another. Another esteems every day the same. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, this is going to make more sense as we go. He that regards or distinguishes from other days the day, he does it unto who? Unto the Lord. And he that regards not the day or doesn't distinguish any difference to the Lord, he doesn't. He that eats all things, eats all things to the Lord. For he gives God what? Thanks. And he that eats not all things, to the Lord he eats not all things, and gives God what? Thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live, we live under the Lord. And whether we die under the Lord. And whether we live therefore or die, we are whose? See? And what this has done is used a couple of different examples of when or where people set things above the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished and what God has accomplished in him. See, and they make these things the big deal. And they judge based on these things rather than what God says to judge on. We're not to think more highly than we what? Yeah. See, but we think soberly. That which God has given us to think. Our thinking is based on what God has said. See? Now, someone may be weak in believing, and for whatever reason, this is what they think. But who do they belong to? Their life was worth the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the value God puts on them. So am I going to elevate that thing? By God, you need to learn how to believe. You need to... Right? Right? You don't do that. We don't do that to people. And it gets even better as we continue here on what we really should be doing. For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived. Literally, it's he died and lived again. That he might be Lord both of the dead and the who? And the living. Lord of both, the dead and the living. There's a great verse, or a great section, and I think all of you are familiar with it, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And verse 16 of that chapter says, the dead, where? What's the next phrase? The dead in
Christ.
Right. We'll get up first. The accomplishments of Jesus Christ are so complete. What God has accomplished through him is so complete that when we confess the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in Christ. And if we fall asleep, if the Lord tarries, we are still where? In Christ. Isn't that something? So why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at naught or despise your brother? Is the word, is what it means. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. That day will come. The word God is actually, it should be, I believe that's right, and every tongue shall confess, I believe is what it reads. I didn't make a note of this. I'm going from memory. That's what it is. Every knee shall bow. It simply says, every knee shall bow. They added the word God here because this is quoted from Isaiah 45. Okay? But when you get to Philippians, every knee will bow to who? God's representative in judgment. Because who's going to do the judging? Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Every knee will bow. They will. Every mouth is going to confess. It's going to. But you and I have already done that. We're in Christ. And we're judged righteous. Now this word that is translated judgment seat is used one other place in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it's the word bema. It can mean one of two things. It is a place of judgment, judicial judgment, or it was also used of a place from which rewards were handed out. And first, let's take a minute. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's just look at this, because it's a great section. When you consider these things, you know, you have to keep in mind what we've been made in Christ and the righteousness that's ours in Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians addresses some of these practical matters in more detail than what are handled in Romans. And this is one of the places. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 11. It says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is who?
Jesus Christ.
All right, now we're going to draw a picture here. It's an analogy. All right? right? For learning. The foundation is who?
Jesus Christ.
That's the foundation. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, who's the foundation?
Jesus Christ.
Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Six things listed. And you're building on top of this foundation. For every man's work shall be made manifest. It'll be revealed. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by what?
Fire.
And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, this is all analogy. Fire is used of cleansing and in a lot of different ways. We don't have time to look at all this stuff, but you get the idea. So you've got this foundation. We're building on this foundation. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall what?
Receive
a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss of what? What's the content? What did we just read? Rewards. But he himself should be what? Because the foundation is who?
Jesus Christ.
So I walk according to that foundation. All those things in my life that are done in love according to who and what I am in Christ, I am rewarded for. Those things that are not are what? Gone. Got it? They're not put in your face. They're not, they're what?
Gone.
Because I've been judged righteous in Christ. See? Isn't that beautiful? We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All of us. Everybody. See? Even the unbeliever. And they will bow. They will acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. Yeah, it'll be a little late. But they will. It will be very plain who he is. Isn't that something? And we're in him.
Sure.
So, a little bit of an explanation of that verse. Okay, back to Romans 14, verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall or an obstacle in his brother's way. See, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean or common of itself. The word unclean is the word for common. It's sanctification is to set something apart from the common lot. We are sanctified by Jesus Christ. We are set apart from the common lot unto God. Okay? The rest are common. The Judean, those of Judean background, had foods. Some were considered common or unclean. They weren't supposed to eat them. Now they were freed from that. See? But this was a phrase that was understood. See? And what Paul by revelation is saying here, look it. Nothing's common. But, this is beautiful. But to him that esteems anything to be common, to him it's what?
Common.
So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to jump up and down and say, No, it's not. Jesus Christ took care of that. Is that what I do?
No.
That's not what it's about. Isn't that something? But if thy brother be grieved with your meat, now walkest thou not charitably or in love.
Mm-hmm.
You're not walking in love. Destroy not him with your meat for whom Christ died. He was worth the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a great phrase. And it's the withholding of the demanding of your just rights. Lay it down. It's not worth it. It's not what it's about. 4. The kingdom of God is not what? It's not about these things. But righteousness, peace, joy in Holy Spirit. Isn't that something? That's what the kingdom of God's about. What Jesus Christ came to accomplish. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable. And that word acceptable means well-pleasing. Well-pleasing to God and approved of men. Because you're walking in love. You're just walking in love. Let us therefore pursue, follow, or pursue after the things which make for what?
Peace.
And things wherewith one may edify another, build up another. Sounds a little like Ephesians, doesn't it? Let your speech be unto what? Edification. Where it builds the other one up. That's how we think. That's how we're to think in the one body. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eats with offense. See? If he condemns himself in what he does, then he condemns himself in what he does. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbles, where it causes a problem for him, or is offended, or is made weak. What you believe is how this next phrase should read. Here it says, hast thou faith? And there's a question mark. It's not a question in the Greek. It's what you believe, or that which you believe. Have it to yourself before God. Isn't that beautiful? Happy is he that doesn't judge himself in the thing which he does or allows. See? And he that doubts, he that judges himself, is condemned. The word damned is condemned. Is condemned if he eats, because he eats not of what? For whatsoever is not of believing, if he thinks it's sin, what is it?
Sin.
It's sin to him. And he walks away condemned. Isn't that something? And it's using these examples. See, we don't do that to people. We don't elevate things above what Jesus Christ did. You know, and I've sat with people, you know, people think, you know, you do this or you have to wear your hair a certain, or whatever it is. There's thousands of things out there. All right. Well, okay. Let's talk about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
See? We then, and this is cool, because now we're taking it a step further. We then that are strong, or who are able is what that means, ought to bear the weaknesses, the infirmities, or the weaknesses of the weak. The weak in what? The weak in the believing. That's the context. See? The weak in the believing, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, or with a view to edifying. This next phrase, for even, would more accurately read likewise, or like this. Likewise, or like this. Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches or the insults of them that insulted you fell on me. This is taken from the Psalms. And that psalm opens with, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And the reproaches, you know, that fell on you, have fallen on me. Jesus Christ bore what he bore on our behalf. He paid the price completely for mankind. He wasn't serving himself, was he? For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. that we through patience, and the word patience here is patient endurance, is what it means. Through patient endurance and the encouragement. The word comfort is encouragement, and the article is there. It's the encouragement of the Scriptures might have the hope, is what it reads in the Greek. The hope. Well, what's the hope? What's the hope? Yeah. That's what it's all about. It's not all about this life. It's not all about what you eat and drink and how long you wear your hair and what you wear. What's it really about? It's about new bodies. It's about eternal life. That's what it's about. And that we, through the comfort and the encouragement of the Scriptures, might have the hope. Then it says, now, the God of, and it reads, the patience and the encouragement. What are we referencing here? What did we just read? It's the God of the Scriptures. See? It's the patient endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures might have the hope. Now the God of that patience or that patient endurance and the God of that encouragement grant you to be like-minded one toward another. The standard being who? Christ Jesus. Isn't that cool? That God. See? That God who had the Scriptures. It's His Word. That you might have the hope. That God grant you to be like-minded. The standard being Jesus Christ. See? This verse is old. It's big. Because it refers back to the comfort and the encouragement of the Scriptures. Look at God told Adam in Genesis 3:15... there's going to be a seed, and that seed is going to crush the head of the serpent. Did it come to pass? He told Abraham, you're going to have a seed. 400 years, they're going to dwell in Egypt. 430 years, they're coming out. Did it happen? Yeah. Promise after 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 promise. All came to pass. Did the Christ come? Absolutely. Isn't that neat? Through the patient endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, you might have the hope. Because Jesus Christ is coming back, and we're going to be gathered together with Him. Period. Just like He's brought every other thing to pass. Now, that God grant you to be like-minded one toward another. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. And it's that, and it's all that tone of loving without hypocrisy. See? That, verse 6, you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. And that one mind is the word, it's a word, it's homothumadon. Study it sometime, it's wonderful. But it means, where it lands is it's unity of purpose. Okay, it's not we all think exactly the same thing. But it's unity of purpose. Okay. And that unity of purpose, in the context here, is that walking in love. See? It's that living in light of the hope. That's what that unity of purpose is. That we have one mind, one unity of purpose. We're all different, but we have the same Lord. It's the same God. It's the same hope. It's the same Spirit. It's the same Scriptures. See? Wherefore, receive ye one another. This whole section opened with receive. It opened with how not to receive. Here it's the how. Receive ye one another as Christ also received. And the word us is actually in the Greek, it's the word you. Receive you to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was or became a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to establish, to confirm, to establish the promises made unto the fathers. He fulfilled all of that. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. Now, in reading this, you've got to understand, you've got to go back and remember what we've read in Romans and how God has so lovingly worked with those of Judean background. And it starts back in Romans 3. You know, and it talks about the law and the purpose of the law. And the purpose of the law was to make clear that you can't do the law. You need help. You need to be redeemed. And then it's the righteousness of God that's come. And that's who? Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ. This is what was promised. See? Okay. Now the Judeans got a little difficulty with this right now. Because their whole identification was law. It was everything. That's who they were. It was everything. It was their history. It was their family. It was their culture. It was everything, even though they couldn't do it. It was still everything. Right? So he talks about Abraham. Look it. Before there was a law, it was by believing. Right? Now, Romans 5. This was the deal. This is what I said. This goes all the way back to Genesis 3 and Adam. See, Jesus Christ, the last Adam. By one man sin entered, by one man sin was taken out of the way. And then that righteousness that's come. And then Romans 6, that's a big one. Because Romans 6 is, reckon yourselves dead. You're dead under the sin and you're dead under the law. The Judeans going, what? This is going to be nuts. This is chaos. What does man do without law? What are you saying? We just sin? No. No. Paul says, stop freaking out. You know? And then he goes through and talks about the two natures. One nature is without spirit. The other is with. We have the spirit of God. We belong to God. But it's that man without spirit, man with spirit. The man without spirit couldn't do the law. I was alive without the law once. Then it killed me. It killed me. I was sentenced to death. So I searched. I searched. I found a law. I searched for a law. And it was the law of God after the inward man. To the Judean, that would have communicated. Because the second covenant was, I would write my law where? In their inward parts. I found it. I found it. Romans 8. You know, the only one that can even fulfill that standard of justice is the guy with spirit. See? It's those who have spirit who fulfill the righteousness, that standard of justice of the what? Of the law. Right? So here, he's just so lovingly working with them. And then Romans 9 through 11, you know, listen to the teaching. But it goes through and God talks about how he will absolutely bring his word to pass. But for right now, it's Jesus Christ. See? A man is saved by believing. And here, the reason why I bring all this up is because we're going to read some verses. And he's showing him, this is what I was talking about. This is what I was talking about. See? It's just so cool to see God, you know, and just how, I guess that's why he's God. Okay. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written. This is taken from 2 Samuel chapter 22. For this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he said, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. That's taken from Deuteronomy. And again, praise the Lord all ye Gentiles and laud him all ye people. Taken from the Psalms. These are scriptures they would have known. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. See, all of these things were prophesied. Sometimes people mistakenly think that the fact that the Gentiles would have spirit is part of the great mystery. It is not. That was revealed all through the Old Testament. What is the great mystery? And what was hid in Christ or in God was that it would be one new man. That was the mystery. But all of this was revealed regarding the Gentiles. Because the Judean had a difficult time with this because they were the chosen of God. See? And what God is so lovingly doing here, look it. This is, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. See? Isn't that beautiful just how God works with His people? Anyway, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in, and it reads in the Greek, the believing. That you may abound in the hope through the power of Holy Spirit. Isn't that neat? And that ends this. One more verse in this section. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. And that word admonish is to judge harshly. No. It means to put the word in mind. That's basically what it means. To put the word in mind. And sometimes, you know, if you ever study that word, it's beautiful. Sometimes it's speaking the word. Sometimes it's just living the word. Sometimes it's just telling somebody you love them. Sometimes it's singing a song. You ever heard a song and it just put the word in mind? Blessed you? You know? But it's to put the word in mind. That's what it means. And we're able to do that because of Spirit. And when we walk loving without hypocrisy, boy, what God can work and do in that one body. Really something. See? So that's that section. All right? So I'm going to pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks for your faithfulness. And just all that's been accomplished for us through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. All that we have to look forward to at His return. And that, Father, we can enjoy that life with you now, that relationship with you now because of Spirit born within. Thank you for these things, for your goodness, your grace to us, your children, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. That's right.